Good morning. Excuse me. My throat is all glomulated. Just had a little bit of coffee. Yeah. I swear the air is filled with Glimbus here in Seattle. They keep dumping it from the fucking sky. I mean, I don't know what to tell you, but it's messed up. I have a bit of a stuffed up nose, and my throat is all silky, and it's just I'm all discombobulated, and it's terrible. It's Thursday, August the 15th, 2019, and this is your friend Dan in Little Saigon, Seattle. Yeah, so indeed, it's Thursday. It is just after 5 in the morning, which is great. I closed the window to my apartment container zone to control for noise. I turned off the fan also, but this also means that over the next 45 minutes to an hour, my apartment will slowly heat up. And so, yeah. I have to say, podcasting in the summertime in this fifth floor luxury apartment here in Little Saigon can be a bit challenging because when I get home at night, it's just often unbearably hot and I just don't even want to fucking talk about it. Yeah. But remember this, kids, it's really fucking important. If the little magical fucking rectangle tells you that everything is normal, that the weather is normal, that you know, good old red-haired little Dan, when he would frolic about in the Puget Sound in 1978, would see the same shit in the sky. That's a load of fucking horse shit. There was never a time growing up where I would say to myself, "Gee, I hope I can breathe this summer." Never. Now, maybe you grew up in Los Angeles, so like you say to yourself, "Well, Dan, welcome to the party." Or like my ex-wife, who grew up in Chicago, and she might say, "Well, Dan, shit, Seattle isn't as shitty as Chicago yet. You know, once it gets there, then we're all equal and fuck." Yeah. So no, the weather's not like it was when I was a kid, and I know every old fuck says that, and I just don't know what to tell you. I mean, if you want me to say, "Oh, gee, you know, it's probably just normal and everything's fine," I'm not going to tell you that shit either. I just don't know what to t I don't know what to tell you. My throat is, like I said, I breathe this shit in every fucking night I get home. It's just disgusting. Don't tell me those fucked up spider web clouds. Don't tell me those are normal. I'm not saying it's chemtrails. I don't know what the fuck is causing it. But what I can tell you is the air's not clean and those fucking clouds are not normal. To me, that's pretty fucking obvious. But then again, I don't have a smart device. So I don't stare at it every fucking morning, every fucking afternoon on my way to work. I actually look at the sky every once in a while. So there's that. I know that having a smart device probably make you probably think it makes you like super advanced and shit. I don't know what to tell you, but it doesn't. First topic. My God, my throat's all messed up from this shit. First topic for today's podcast. First fucking topic. So I've discussed this before. I didn't become a computer programmer till after 30. I kind of flirted with computers a little bit in my teens, but I didn't really mess around with them much. And in a lot of ways, I've always been a late adopter when it comes to technology. Not really by choice. It's kind of like the story of Lenny Wilkins' basketball camp. When I was 10, and this was the year 1980, a seminal year for personal computing, I really wanted to go to computer camp. Now, computer camp was what you need to know for purposes of this discussion. Computer camp wasn't simply a better choice for all sorts of future reasons. It was a better choice because I think it was like a third as expensive. Like, it was cheaper. It was cheaper than sending me to Lenny Wilkins basketball camp, which was a horror, which was embarrassing, which was a couple weeks of just humiliation. Never in my whole fucking life did anyone ever say to themselves, gee, one day that Dan's gonna grow up to play in the fucking NBA. But no, my dad really wanted me to go to Lenny Wilkins basketball camp, and that was a fucking fail. So yeah, I think I could have gone down different roads, and I certainly wish I'd had mentors as I have mentored others, but I didn't. And that's okay. I'm not going to bitch and moan about shit that happened 40 or 50 fucking years ago. There's no fucking point. There really isn't. But in 1998, I got my first computer. I'd just gotten back from being stationed in Korea. And I purchased a Compaq computer used off of a dude in my military unit, you know, here at Fort Lewis, Washington, where I got back to. Yeah. And it came with a free game. And I remember playing it. I actually think, that might not have been the one that came with the game. It might have been the second computer I bought once I got out of the service in 2000. But the point is, I remember getting this free copy, or buying it. Maybe I bought it, but I think I got a free copy of SimCity 2000. Now, I know some of the younger folks know about The Sims and the fucking simulated reality of a family that really isn't there, that you look down upon like God upon Mount Olympus. Yeah, so I never played The Sims. I never really played SimCity much. Frankly, SimCity bored me. I thought it was a really stupid game. But I did have fun being really fucked up. And one of my fun maps I would enjoy doing, especially if I would get home, late from work some night from working at Rolls-Royce North America in Indianapolis and supply chain management. Boy, that was fucking exciting. How are we going to source the fan blades for the AE-1107, Dan? Are we going to buy those cheap Bolivian fan blades that are polluted with the blabonite? You know what the study says, that the blabonite begins to deteriorate at, RPM 12K. Needless to say, that stuff I just said is all gobbledygook. But what you need to know is if I got stressed out in the year 2000 and I would come home to my new style, Indianapolis apartment, sometimes I would play SimCity 2000. I wouldn't play it right. I would create two basic types of buildings and only two. I would create two types of structures. So I'd build factories because you have to have factories for the laborers to fulfill their meaning in life, making shit for me. I'd build factories in my SimCity map. I'd have a factory or two. And then I would also build prisons because your laborers need a place to sleep at night. Yeah, as mayor of SimCity, there were only two types of allowed structures in my SimCity. There were only two types of buildings. One type would be factories. So you'd have factories, and all the kiddies and all the families of course, would be separated each morning and put on buses and sent to the factories. Although maybe they would actually march there. I really don't know. And then you'd have prisons for people to sleep at night. You know, the families could come back to the prison and hang out in the common areas and have their meals. It's really, really kind of just a Norman Rockwell city of prisons and factories. And what surprised me is the thing about SimCity is it's kind of a simulation game. So as it goes through cycles, through the simulated timeline, you'll get like news articles that say people are really pissed off and protesting. And believe it or not, in my city of factories and prisons, a lot of those articles got written. So I would go into God mode. I didn't realize this at first, but you could go into God mode and send, you know, tornadoes. So every time I saw this is fucked up. And I think it's one of the reasons there's a point to this. There's a reason why I'm an anarchist, and I think that little flirtation with SimCity 2000 confirms it. But yeah, if I saw too many of these news articles from the people complaining about their fucking prisons and factories, because shit, all you could do in my SimCity was build roads between the prisons and the factories and build prisons and factories. If you've got prisons and factories, what the fuck else do you need? And if you say, Dan, well, I need food. No. We're trading with a city that produces food. You just keep making your cheap wallets and your disposable hand cannons, and we'll ship them to the city that has food. Yeah. So here's the deal, though. As ridiculous as it was to just create those cities of factories and prisons, as absurd as it was, and as fun as it was to see how haywire everything would go, I'd come to the realization, looking back on that, and I think I probably realized it at the time, that there's something essentially futile about trying to run the world. I'm not saying you can't do it, it's just that you can't do it. Okay? Let's pretend I'm the atheist I used to be. There is not a person who is good enough to run the world. There is no collection of people that are good enough to run the world. They don't exist. Okay? If you believe they exist, I think you have to prove it. You have a theory. You need to prove to me that there are people who, through some genetic makeup, environmental, whatever, should run the world. And if you're going to tell me, well, those are the people that get elected, I would say, what the fuck is wrong with you? If democracy works, and I really don't think it does, but let's assume that democracy works, and let's make a further assumption that voting in our Republican representative democracy works. I don't think it works. I don't think when you vote in America, it does anything at all. I don't think the button is connected to anything. I've given the speech before. It's kind of like when I would design a website and some fucking business owner or product owner or business process professional would say, Dan, where the fuck is the save button? And I'd say, well, it auto saves. And they would have a glazed sort of zombie-like stare, and they'd say, where's the save button again? As if saying it twice changes anything about the conversation. It auto saves. You don't have to have a save button. But in the end, because people are crazy and often very stupid, you end up putting the save button on there. It's not connected to anything. It does nothing, but it makes people feel better. That is how I would classify voting in the United States of America. It doesn't really work. It can't possibly work. I know you want it to work, but it doesn't. But even if it did, it would only be a popularity contest. There are no people that good. There are no people that decent, folks. I'm not saying people are shit. It's just that the common argument against people running their lives is that people are shit. I mean, that's ultimately, this is the contradictory sort of upside down world of statism. The basic premise of statism is individuals cannot run their lives. Like, we can't just voluntarily cooperate, we have to be ruled. That's the fundamental assumption of statism, okay? That ordinary, everyday people are not capable of running their lives. But the problem with that is, where are you going to find the magical people that can? Where do these fucking people come from? And don't fucking quote Plato's Republic. I read that and got over it before most of you were fucking born. Okay? I'm way over Plato's Republic. Are there features of Plato's thought I still kind of appreciate? Yeah, with respect to metaphysics. But beyond that, I think Plato is mostly a junkie for tyranny. And the bulk of Plato's Republic, with the exception of the allegory of the cave and a few other parts, is mostly an architectural manual in dialogue form for how to create a totalitarian society. So yeah, I'm not a big fan of that worldview. I do not believe you can go amongst the young people and find the golden youth and put them in magical schools. But also, by that token, I'm not a big fan of taking the non-golden babies or the damaged babies and tossing them off a cliff, as Plato would suggest. So I think that this is a little bit more fucking complicated, but I will tell you this. I've never seen evidence, ever. And frankly, let me go off on that Plato tangent one more time. Plato, the Greek philosopher, was actually asked by a tyrant to help him become a philosopher king. And I don't know all the details, but I will tell you it was a failure. So the bottom line is this. Whatever Platonic thought is with respect to metaphysics, fine. But the basic Platonic ideal of a perfect society, it's a fantasy. It's a lie. Because the fundamental premise of statism is that humans cannot run their lives. Well, guess what? That implies that the only person you could ever pick as a ruler is supernatural or some type of robot, you know, but or an animal. Like you'd pick like a dog or a cat, but humans themselves cannot run their lives. Well, folks, that means that there's no one that could ever be a ruler, no collection of people, no amount of voting solves this problem. Yeah, and I gotta be honest with you, folks. As absurd and ridiculous as it was for me to create that Sim City, that horrible Sim City, Sim City Dark Zone 12. Sim City Dark Zone 12 is a fearful place to live. Dark City only has prisons and factories. Dark City allows you to work 17 hours a day. You and your family will spend the other hours mostly marching from work to the prison to sleep and eat your glombus. You'll work 17 hours a day every day. Maybe you'll get one day off every leap year. You'll work to pay for your organic artisanal bioslurry. Only $55.95 credits a gallon at the prison store. Your family will love Uncle Dan's organic bioslurry. It's artisanal, 50% more cat than there used to be. Just warm up that bioslurry in the pot. The electricity is on tonight for a whole 35 minutes. But here's my point, folks. As absurd as my Sim City was, the Sim City, the dark city of prisons and factories and organic bioslurry, and yeah, arguably, a lot of upset people, simulated people, probably arguably for good reason, right? For good reason. I mean, who wants to live in that hell? But folks, what I was really describing, and what I didn't realize at the time, and I now know, is the ultimate end state of statism. You can make fun of Pol Pot and frickin' Jim Jones and Adolf Hitler and Joseph Stalin all you want to. You can make fun of all the tyrants throughout history that were the bad guys. But the fact is, none of it ever works. Yeah, it might work kind of for a while. I mean, it's sort of like when people say, wouldn't it be great if every Roman emperor were Marcus Aurelius? Well, Marcus Aurelius was a Roman emperor in the second century, the late second century AD. And yeah, people consider him the wise emperor, the good emperor. I don't know, folks. Maybe he was, maybe he wasn't. But the problem is this, it's fucking irrelevant because he's one in a million. He was a rare gem if it was true, and the system probably killed him at some point. I mean, I don't know. There's that story that he was poisoned. I really don't know. What I will tell you is if he was all those things, he was a rarity. He was rare. I just don't know what to tell you. I don't want to beat this topic to death, but if your basic contention is that people don't have the ability to self-govern, then you cannot have government at all unless it basically is reduced to a prison society. And I don't care if it's Uncle Dan's crazy ass factory prison city or if it's a THX 1138, let's all fucking shave our heads and dress in bland outfits and go talk to phone booth Jesus, who tells us to take our pills. I don't care if it's like Brave New World or 1984 or whatever. Statism only ends up in one place, starvation and collapse and prisons, because nobody knows how to run other people's lives. Let me repeat that statement because that's actually true, okay? It is not true that people are incapable of self-governance. In fact, there is plenty of evidence that people do self-organize. Think about the I don't know, I forget what they called it, the Redneck Coast Guard or whatever, but think about, the people who would get into their frickin' bass boats and flatboats to help out their neighbors during some of these hurricanes, okay? They weren't ordered to do this. Nobody said, get into your boat and go help people and their animals because they might drown. People voluntarily went out of their way to help people. I see this every day. I try to do this myself every day. I'm not ordered to be a good person. I try to be a good person. Okay? I'm not perfect. I fuck up. But when it comes to the big things like don't aggress on other people, don't steal other people's shit, don't go around exerting physical violence on people, try to support liberty and dignity in your acts. I think I do okay on those things. Now, here's the deal though, okay? Nobody's perfect, but yes, we can self-govern. But what I know to be absolutely true, whereas self-governance is true and the whole people can't run their lives, that's false. Okay, people should run their lives. What is also very much true, and this is an absolute truth, and if you can grasp this truth and you're still a statist, okay, you might be a libertarian, so you dream of the tiny crocodile. You dream of the tiny crocodile as a libertarian, as a minarchist that only goes around, arresting bad people, murderers, rapists, pedophiles, thieves, puts them in jail, blah, but does nothing else. Okay? I get it. But that is impossible. There will never be that kind of magical crocodile. It will always want to get bigger. It will always want to run your life. This is what you need to grasp if you want to escape that cargo cult status bullshit. Nobody knows how to humanely, decently run other people's lives. Nobody. I need to repeat this. There is not a person alive that knows how to decently, humanely run a society. Yes, there are people who might be able to kind of keep people headed in the right direction, and they're called leaders. And leaders exist, and they don't have to be rulers, but there are no rulers who can rule a society without harming somebody, and often they end up harming everybody. So, yeah, there's a distinction between leadership and being a ruler. Leaders are people who step in to organize. They are not people who have any type of quote-unquote legal authority. And in a decent and free society, if you don't like the person organizing the meeting, walk out of the meeting. Leave. It's a voluntary thing. You go to the meeting, you leave the meeting. You join the group, you leave the group. Okay? Your participation is not mandatory in a free society. If you think people cannot self-govern, then you must realize that it is also true that there is not one fucking person that knows how to run my life. If I can't run my life, I guarantee fucking to you there isn't a person alive or a collection of people that know how to do it. But what I can promise you is every type of statism. I don't care about its beginnings. You can talk about enlightened despotism. You can talk about religious empires and religious-based societies. I don't give a fuck what flavor of statism you're into. I believe in absolute democracy, Dan. I'm a pure communist. I don't give a fuck. Every single form of statism, even our own, that started so gloriously with just the Declaration of Independence, which is all we needed. We didn't need a constitution. All we needed was to say, fuck you, Britain, we're going our own way, we're going to self-organize. But that could not be allowed. Actual freedom in the United States of America, that could not be allowed, so you have the Constitution. And then you get your army, and then you get 100 years of slaughtering Native Americans, and then you get 100 years after that of fucking everyone else. Yeah. No person, no collection of people has the ability to rule me, or you, or anyone. And it will never work, and the only outcome is going to be prisons and factories. Okay? End of that topic. I'll move on, but come on, folks, get real. I know that a lot of you people want to believe, really, really want to believe that democracy works and that that's the solution to the eternal problem of social contract and having legitimate rulers and other kinds of bullshit. But what I'm telling you is there is no collection of people. There's no random selection of people. There's no single person on planet Earth that is capable of running my life. If I'm not capable of running it, no one is capable. That's the key. But if I am capable, if I do have the ability to self-govern, which is what I believe because I'm a Christian, I was given free will, but I was also given a soul. If I have the ability to self-govern, why the fuck would I want or need a ruler? If I want to solve a problem, I will join a group with the mission of solving that problem. If they are not solving that problem, I will either try to take leadership of the group or I'll leave. The point is, I will participate voluntarily. I will leave if I don't need to or want to. People will organically self-organize in a free society. You don't need to have a fucking law. You don't need a lawyer. People will solve problems, and they'll do it in frankly, more creative and efficient ways than the fucking bullshit we have now. So, yeah. I don't know. Today's a work day, so I may only have one more topic before the podcast ends, and it's not going to involve an organ for those of you that hate that. Like I told you, I these summers in Seattle, you know, it's okay. Cities are heat islands. They absorb a lot of heat, so they're naturally going to be hotter. But the air is just a lot dirtier than it used to be, and it really gets kind of nasty. I don't know what to tell you. It's really nasty. Next topic, not involving air quality or the ability to breathe. I'm going to tell you, okay, so you all know I'm a Christian. You know I was baptized last Sunday. I don't know if I freaked out the congregation or not when I gave my testimony. I'm kind of scared about that because I feel like I may have been too honest. And you know, I'll go to church on Sunday and I'll find out. I'll find out if I freak people out. I don't know. But I've been thinking about a lot of the rebuking that atheists will throw at God. Like, you know, God, why did you let this happen? God, why did you let my kid die of cancer? I'd only been feeding him Monsanto trash for 20 years. Clearly, Monsanto is not responsible. It's God. I got my child the 89 required vaccinations before three, and oh my gosh, randomly, my child got autism. I blame God. I hope you're catching my sarcasm here because, you know, it's so easy to blame God for all of our bullshit, but the fact is, it's our bullshit. We are responsible for it. Okay? The stuff that we do to ourselves, the stuff that we do to each other, the stuff that we do to the earth. These are things that we as humans, individuals, are responsible for. Okay? I'm going to say this, and I hope that you listen. Humans invented murder. Now, I'm going to repeat this statement because some of you may be completely lost. Human beings invented murder. Animals do not murder each other, animals kill each other to survive. It's true. I hate to break it to you. You may love all those Disney films, but lions and elk and deer and raccoons and squirrels do not have tea parties. They are, in fact, connected in the dance macabre of an ecosystem. Some of them are predators, some of them are prey. That's just reality, okay? But when they kill, they're not like taking out a personal vendetta. Okay, they're not doing it. They're not doing it for sport. They're doing it to survive. So animals kill, but they don't commit murder. The Lord in heaven before humans, I see no evidence, and I haven't read the Apocrypha, so maybe there's something in the Book of Enoch, but I see zero evidence that God, before creation, or during creation, or during the part where Adam and Eve are still in Eden, right before expulsion, I see no evidence that God ever killed anyone, or that even God, even though God is infinitely intelligent and probably conceived of murder, I think that on some level, probably God thought, you know, yes, I'm giving these creatures free will, and yes, they're going to be capable of imagining all sorts of things. But I can imagine God thinking to himself, well, but they probably, I hope, will never imagine this thing called murder. But I think the horrible truth is humans invented murder. We did. God didn't. God didn't create it. God didn't say humans go forth and kill each other. Actually, we created that, and then we created a mess of a world almost from the beginning. Now, is it true that in the Old Testament, especially following Exodus, that God tells the Hebrews, yes, go, you can destroy this city and you can murder these people and take the promised land? Folks, I meditate on the first five books and Judges and Samuel, and I should say the first five books and Joshua and all of these books, but maybe Joshua especially. I meditate on this because, yeah, it does look like in the Old Testament, God directs the Hebrews to wage war to take property, to take land. And I'm not going to like give you an overly simplified explanation. I actually talk about this in another podcast. I talk about Leviticus and I talk about some of the things that God tells people not to do. Don't eat shellfish, you know, gay people, make sure you kill them. Yeah, this is stuff that's pretty hard to process, especially if you don't believe that people should go around killing people like myself. I have a hard time with these books, these first few books of the Bible. But at the same time, I pray for discernment. I pray for wisdom. Because there's plenty of evidence that God also would prefer that we not be vicious killers. And I think the New Testament demonstrates that. So, yeah, guys, the Bible is complicated. If you're going to read it and hope that there's one simple answer to every fucking question, no, that's not the Bible. Humans invented murder. We're the ones that conceived of killing another human, or frankly, nature, frankly, other animals. We're the ones that conceived of murder and destruction for simply the purpose of murder and destruction. We're the ones who enjoy going hunting often just to fucking get a trophy. There are people that hunt for trophies. I don't honestly get that. Like, I get hunting for food. I totally get that. Guys, I'm a carnivore. If you're out there hunting, I just ask that you're safe, because a lot of these animals aren't as clean as they used to be. If you're a fucking hunter and you're out hunting deer in North America, you need to be researching wasting disease. You need to be researching the spread of ticks and Lyme disease. The bottom line is this: hunting and fishing ain't what it used to be. But if you're hunting or fishing for food, you know, God bless you. You know, God wanted the world to provide resources for us. I think God also hoped we wouldn't turn it into a giant toilet bowl. But yeah, this beautiful gift was supposed to provide resources. And I think we were supposed to be good gardeners, good tenders, stewards, not destroyers. But that's a whole nother topic. We invented murder, folks, not God. And then once we killed, once Cain killed his brother, and you need to meditate on that shit. You know, it's funny. I've talked a lot about the media and its war on Christianity and its war on religion, yes, but specifically Christianity. And it's funny, in some of these shows, they'll address things like Cain and Abel. And I remember watching these episodes of that fucking show, Lucifer. And yeah, I know there are Christians listening to me and say, Dan, you watched that show, Lucifer. Bad, bad, bad. Well, maybe. I don't know. I found it intriguing because, as I've stated in the past, you know, Lucifer, of the many things you'll say about Satan, Satan is the prince of lies. And all lies, every single great lie especially, all great lies contain some truth. If you don't understand that, you need to meditate on that. Great lies contain some truth. And so I watched this fucking show, Lucifer, and they go over Cain and Abel. Like, they actually, and I think it was in their last season, they address it, and it's like, in the show, they make out Abel to be a total jerk. I mean, that's basically it. Like, they basically describe Abel as this total jerk that Cain had to kill. But there's nothing like that in the Bible. So they basically decided on their own to describe Abel as some jerk that Cain, you know, legitimately should have felt okay about killing. That is not in the Bible. At least not the Bibles I've read. So it's funny, because in the media, even they want to tell you that, yeah, maybe we murdered first, but you know what, though? God probably set us up for it. It's like, no, guys, no. The Lord in heaven did not create murder. We did. And then I think, as we drifted deeper into sin, and this is the thing, if you were the Lord in heaven, and you placed Adam and Eve in paradise, one of your thoughts might have been, what will they do? Because here's the thing, there were other choices. We had free will right from the beginning, folks. Right from the beginning. Adam and Eve had free will from the very moment zero. And they had a whole bunch of choices. And when a fancy flim-flam man in the shape of a snake called Satan came along and said, you know what, guys? That God, man, he's keeping the truth from you. If you knew the truth, you would be free. The truth shall set you free. And again, as I said, Lucifer, oh, he's the greatest of all liars. All of his lies contain a lot of truth. All of his lies. What he was saying about, you know, the knowledge of good and evil, that is also true, folks, that knowledge was powerful. And maybe we weren't ready for it. Here's the thing. God placed that fruit in the garden. Sure, he said, don't touch it, but he placed it there. So on some level, God probably figured after eons and eons, perhaps we would be ready. You see, that's the question. What would have happened if they hadn't have taken the fruit at that time? What if they'd waited? What if they'd simply learned and waited and who knows what, become wiser. And then at the point that they gained wisdom, they took the fruit. Because I can imagine the Lord in heaven thinking, yes, there could be other scenarios. There could be other branches in sequence. And folks, Genesis is a tough book of the Bible because there are a lot of really interesting ideas in Genesis, but not a lot of details, especially in the first few chapters. You know, you get a very brief description. Noah, the description of Noah is a few paragraphs, you know, and it's like, holy crap, there's a lot in here that I want to know that I can't know. It's just not here. The actual definition, at least as far as historians are concerned, the actual definition of a dark age is that there's very little written history. You have oral history, you have legends, but very little written history, very little chronology, very little examples of anything textual that you can use to fill in the gap. So, for example, when the Western Roman Empire fell in the 5th century AD, from the 5th century until roughly the 8th, many people would classify that as the Dark Age of Western Europe. So roughly from the fall of the Western Roman Empire up until the time of Charlemagne, more or less. And so what we have from Genesis is a lot like a Dark Age chronology. We don't have a lot of details. We have ideas, we have metaphors, we have stories. We don't have a lot of details. But I just need to emphasize this point, and perhaps this is the best way to end the podcast today. God did not invent murder, folks. God did not invent war. Now, you might argue the angels invented war, and you could argue the angels maybe invented murder, but I don't know or have any evidence that any angel ever murdered another angel in the Bible, okay? I'm not even sure angels can be killed, or at least God wants them to be killed. I think that it's possible that they're basically almost indestructible with the exception of God. And so, yeah, I would say that I don't see any evidence of any other creature delving into the science of murder or war but humans. And I don't know. The war in heaven stuff, I just don't want to get into that. But when it comes to murder, I think it's a human thing. I think we invented it. And I think that's something to consider. You know, I'm not claiming to be a great scholar of the Bible. I'm not. And I've said this before and I'll say it again. If you're going to post a comment saying, well, Dan, you haven't read the ancient Aramaic. You know what, folks? If you want to sharpshoot every fucking Christian that hasn't read every fucking ancient text, then please, fine. But I guarantee you, I can find some fucking belief of yours, some janky fucking belief, and I could sharpshoot that shit all day and say you haven't read the paper by Dr. Fribulus. The fact is, I haven't studied the whole Bible as well as I'd like to. I'm still learning. And so if you're sort of saying to yourself, well, what's he saying? I'm saying, these are my impressions of these ideas. Do not treat this as the outcome of a biblical scholar, because I'm not one of those. But what I'm going to sort of throw at you and leave with you and just think about it today is humans invented murder. We did that. And if we didn't invent it in heaven, we certainly invented it on earth. And then we simply got better at it. Have a great day.